Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you the stories and voices shaping Central Texas's creative landscape. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. This month's episode is all about storytelling. Stories help us understand who we are, they preserve history, spark imagination, challenge assumptions, and connect us across generations and cultures. Today we'll hear from people who are doing exactly that. First, I'll be joined by playwright, farmer, educator, and all-round creative force, Kay Bell, whose original works are bringing untold stories and historical voices to the stage. Then we'll welcome Lewis Hunter and Samuel Thomas, the co-directors of the award-winning Waco Independent Film Festival, which returns July 16th to 19th to celebrate its 10th anniversary. Let's begin with theatre. My first guest is one of those wonderfully multi-talented people who seems to have lived several lives in one. Kay Frances Bell is a retired educator, current farmer, playwright, actor, and storyteller. A native of Jacksonville, Texas, she earned her degree in elementary education from Paul Quinn College and spent years inspiring young people as a teacher and theater educator. Today, she operates Passion Farm Garden, is a familiar face at the Waco Downtown Farmers Market, and continues to write original works for the stage. Many listeners may also know her husband, Virgil Bell, often called the Praying Man of Waco, whose ministry of encouragement has touched countless lives throughout our community. They are a power couple for sure. Kay has now written 6 stage plays, and 2 of her newest works are being presented in Waco this summer. Kay, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you.
Well, Kay, you've been a teacher, farmer, performer, playwright, community leader. How did storytelling become such an important part of your life?
Well, storytelling became a part of my life because, you know, often a lot of people, they don't read the newspaper. Mm-hmm. they're not on social media. Hey, but I just feel like that I can express my feelings on the stage, and it gives people an opportunity who don't read the newspaper.
Or maybe don't trust some of the news sources.
There you go. To see a live enactment on stage of some things that bring hope, bring love, bring unity. So, yeah.
And you always bring such an interesting perspective and a joyful kind of spirit to the plays that you write. There's often great exuberance and a lot of laughter. I always laugh. even in some of the difficult stories that you tell, there's always a moment of laughter.
I think laughter is very important for a stage play because you want to leave on a positive, good note, you know? You want to leave with some joy or have happiness.
You do that brilliantly. Mm-hmm. You've just seen Soulful Black Wall Street come to life with Waco Civic Theater. What inspired you to tell the story of Greenwood and Tulsa's Black Wall Street?
Well, what really inspired me as a business owner, I think that African-American are needing to be motivated and stimulated to want to be their own boss and to own their own business. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, hey, what if we bring a story of people who were in 1921 successfully having their own business, having their own, they were entrepreneurs of all kind. I said, perhaps by bringing a stage play of showing a true story of these people living successful, perhaps one person will be motivated to start their own business and be their own boss like the people did in 1921 in the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
One thing that struck me about the musical is that it doesn't simply revisit tragedy. It celebrates resilience, entrepreneurship, faith, and community. Mm-hmm. Why is it important that there is a balance there? Because, you know, often we will hear the hard story, but I do think, you know, you are bringing something, you bring a lightness of touch as well, even to hard things. Yeah. Why is that balance important, but why is that also difficult?
It's difficult because sometimes the truth hurt. I try to balance out my play by putting true facts, but also bringing in some soothing with music and with poetry to tell the truth. So I try to balance it out by putting true facts and soothing it with music and poetry in my plays. Yeah. Because
bringing kind of redemption there too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about giving people true facts, you know, some facts people may not have known. There are many people who came to me and said, well, I've never heard about the true story of the Tulsa. Mm-hmm. But I'm just delighted to know that I can bring true facts to the stage that people can hear and see what really happened, where they perhaps may not have known about. Yeah.
And invite them into those stories.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you wrap them in things that are familiar to all of us as well.
Right.
Well, your second production, yes, Liberty's Dream, starts tonight. It kicks off tonight.
Yes.
And tell us what audiences can expect. What kind of story are you telling there? Because this is partly about the 250th anniversary of our nation, right?
Yes. I'm so excited to have written this play with the Young Festival
Stage.
Yes. Yeah. We are celebrating with America the 250th anniversary. And this stage play is about a person who owns a cafe in New York, right where the Statue of Liberty is. And they have people of all culture working at this cafe. So you can imagine the different cultural conflicts and love that's going on in that cafe. You're going to get some of that love and conflicts going on.
And humor maybe too
and
in the middle of that.
And humor going on. And you're going to get some wonderful music going on. And you're going to get a whole lot of true facts going on and a lot of imagination that the Baylor Theater people brought to it. It's just such a great, wonderful piece of art that I think that we partner together with the Young Fest stage.
So shout out to Michael Sullivan, who is, he's designing the set and he's behind Young Festival stage. Mm-hmm. And he is a genius when it comes to building set things. I think there are some pretty remarkable things that will be on that stage.
Oh,
correct?
It is. It's going to be really great. I mean, like you say, Michael is very creative in designing all the things that are magical. Shout out to Michael. And I want to give a shout out to Dr. Guillaume
Almeida. Yes.
Who just pushes me to remember to bring into the young, you know, add the young people into this play. And I kind of added the young people a part in here also so they can have some enjoyment of it.
So it's multi-generational.
It is. It's multi-generation and multicultural. So it's just so much that you would want to be a part of. So you don't want to miss opening night. If you can't make it opening night, then get there the next night because it's exciting.
That sounds tremendous. I can't wait to see it. And as a playwright, what stories do you feel still need to be told?
As a playwright, stories that need to be told. You know, I think things that we perhaps are not familiar with this young generation. There's a lot of history that's still not open, and I think that should be told. You know, very important, pivotal events that have happened in our country that you hear a lot of people, oh, I didn't know that. I never heard of that. I'm always like, hey, let's tell that, you know. And so, you know, there's so many stories that our country have done that our people need to know about. And I'm just looking for the next thing to write that, hey, I think that needs to be told.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Well, I love how you always give those stories kind of a human context.
Right.
You know, an individual context, but also you kind of unpack the bigger implications of the story too. I've seen many of your plays now.
Yes.
They're always so much fun, but they always make you leave thinking, oh, you know, that kind of explains something I didn't know before, or that explains why things are the way they are.
Right.
And you've spent your life teaching. It seems like you see playwriting as a form of education.
Yes, I spent my life teaching. You know, and I mostly started out teaching. I was teaching science.
Wow. You really are a polymath.
Right. I spent most of my teaching science. And then the last 2 years of my career, I taught theater art. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. I love this. and I just want to take this to another level, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I had the opportunity to write a play back in 2019. Was my first. It was called Born to Win. We did it down at the Hippodrome.
I remember that. It was so fun.
It was a success. And hey, ever since then, I've been on fire to write more.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt. Like, hey, let's get another one out there. Because, you know, I like my playwright. It's like you say, I like to tell stories that have not been told. Or bring out things that need to be told, you know?
Well, and Kay, I love how collaborative you are too, mm-hmm. because you're working with the Civic Theater, you're working with Young Festival Stage,
right.
you perform in many different kinds of spaces, mm-hmm. and that means that your work reaches many different kinds of audiences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Kay, for joining me.
I am
so glad that you are doing what you're doing and that you are still being so creative in our community. And I can't wait to see your next production.
Okay. And everybody get your tickets.
Absolutely. Right. Well, on that note, Liberty's Dream runs from tonight through July 5th at the Midway Performing Arts Center, presented by Young Festival Stage. Kay, thank you so much for helping keep important stories alive and for reminding us that history becomes most powerful when it's experienced through the arts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me.
From stories told on stage, we turn now to stories told on screen. But first, here's David Smith with David and Art right here on KWBU.
You're listening to 103.3 Waco Public Radio. With the 4th of July coming up quickly, today's encore presentation of David and Art considers how artistic freedom has shaped American culture and why that artistic freedom is something that's worth remembering this time of year.
Along with the patriotic parades, fireworks, and cooking hot dogs on the grill, celebrating the 4th of July always makes me think of four distinctively American paintings. Three of them are, perhaps, to be expected. The first one is John Trumbull's famous painting of the Declaration of Independence being presented to the Continental Congress. The second one is Emanuel Leutze's stirring scene of George Washington crossing the Delaware. The third is John Singleton Copley's 1768 portrait of a pensive Paul Revere. And the fourth one, well, we'll come back to that. Ironically, the holiday also makes me think of the work of the great Russian abstractionist Kazimir Malevich. Of all the artists of the Russian avant-garde, none was more serious than he was about there being a transcendent spirituality in art, and nobody pressed a minimalist kind of abstraction further. He worked his way through a series of different styles before really hitting his stride around 1915. But suddenly, the last paintings he did toward the end of his life were heavy-handed pictures of Soviet peasants tilling the soil. The state was telling him what he had to paint. Many of the generation of abstract painters to which Malevich belonged had to flee the Soviet Union for their lives. Under Joseph Stalin, modernism was condemned as degenerate, and those painters who didn't fall in line were shipped off to a Siberian gulag or simply shot. After being interrogated and tossed in jail for 2 years, Malevich avoided a grimmer fate by abandoning the abstraction about which he felt so strongly and following the line of socialist realism, the only style that met with official approval. Being forced by the government to abandon his creativity and instead serve the ideals of the state or forfeit his life was a horrible abuse of both art and artist. This sad culmination of Malevich's career is the reason I think of the fourth painting on my July 4th list, Jackson Pollock's Lavender Mist, my favorite of his controversial drip paintings. While Pollock wasn't political with his art, the freedom evident by the spattered paint on the huge canvas is testimony, for me, of the absolute value of American freedom. We're all familiar with the occasional controversies over censorship that sometimes erupt when government and art nudge up against each other in the United States. Most of us have also seen a painting or two that we think is an affront to decency, good taste, or art in general. But such episodes aside, the freedom that American artists enjoy is another cause for us to celebrate the birth of the United States on July 4th.
You can find this and past David and Art segments on our website at kwbu.org. Look for David and Art in the Programs tab.
Welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. My next guests have helped build one of Waco's most remarkable cultural success stories. The Waco Independent Film Festival began as a bold idea and has grown into one of the most respected independent film festivals in the world. Movie Maker magazine has named it among the world's top 25 coolest film festivals, and it is one of the 50 film festivals worth the entry fee recommended by Film Freeway. This year, Waco Indy celebrates its 10th anniversary, and joining me are the festival's co-directors, Lewis Hunter and Samuel Thomas. Lewis is the founder and operations director of the festival, a producer, filmmaker, and creative entrepreneur whose work has been created for brands including CBS, Pizza Hut, and 7-Eleven. Samuel serves as artistic director and brings more than two decades of experience in production, documentary filmmaking, and storytelling. Lewis and Samuel, welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Always a great time.
Well, and congratulations on 10 years of the film festival. I know when we first had conversations about it, that seemed like a stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, we could not even have imagined some of the accolades that you guys picked up along the way, along with just how much of a transformational event this has become every year for Waco. So when you look back at that very first festival, did either of you imagine the trajectory that ended up unfolding?
I'm going to say no.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, we had, I guess if imagination was sort of a hope and a vision, sure, mm-hmm. but certainly not the way that it played out, that it would actually be as successful as we hoped.
I mean, you're right. Like we planned for it to be this big, but mm-hmm. actually, you know, making that come true, that's quite a stretch. That was a lot of work, and we're here now 10 years later. Crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of a wildest dreams scenario, mm-hmm. which is fantastic for you guys, fantastic for the festival, and so great for our community. You've been recognized globally. What do you think makes this festival special? What is it about Waco Indy that has garnered all this recognition globally?
Honestly, and a lot of this is credit to Lewis, it's just that we are in the trenches with the people we're trying to serve. We've been there. And we know that, hey, a good party is just a celebration of what these people are, what these people have achieved, and what they've provided. And so we just wanted to really just reward them the way we felt rewarded when we were on the film circuit. And that stayed true to today.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is dialing it up to 11.
Yeah.
And we...
For sure.
Exactly. We've seen a lot of good festivals, and we're like, how can we improve upon that? And we've had our own ideas of how to roll out a fantastic festival. And really, we put so much focus on the fun. And I think we get a little bit rewarded by being in the summer. We can have a little bit more fun of the summer doing some things. So I think having that focus on excellent storytelling, making sure the films that come in are just fantastic. And then, like Samuel said, rewarding those filmmakers with a great time. Mm-hmm. And that message has gotten out in the film world, and that's spread around, and people have shared, hey, if you want to have a good time at a film festival, go to Waco. Yeah.
I love how you've made that the reputation. And shout out to Waco Surf all your other partners who have helped really, you know, not every film festival can offer a day surfing as part of the proposition.
Especially and not in the middle of a landlocked area.
Yeah.
And I love how creative you've been with gathering partners that really make this region stand out and showcase some of the other things that are going on here. You've helped attract filmmakers from all over the world, and some of that has ended up with films being made in this community. And, you know, between you and several other really key people in our community, mm-hmm. you have really helped make Waco a place that is good for filmmaking. What is it that you think Waco has to offer to the filmmaking community, and why are we seeing more of that in Waco?
Yeah, well, I think it's a welcoming community. That's number one. And you talk about partners who have made this happen. Of course, none is bigger than Creative Waco, than Fiona, who is a champion for everyone who wants to create in Waco. But yeah, I think it's the ease and accessibility. A lot of times you have filmmakers from New York or LA where there are hurdles to try to make things happen. And so in Waco, we try to take those things down. We also try to connect people. I think that's one of the great things that we do, Samuel and I, as festival directors, is connecting filmmakers with each other. So if they're looking for someone who can direct or someone who can help produce, someone who can be a line producer, someone who can help with catering, that is one thing that we push forward and try really hard to connect filmmakers to those things. And we do a locations tour every year as well. So we have people in our community that come forward and say, hey, I would love to be considered for this locations tour. I'd love to show off my ranch, or I'd love to show off this particular house that we have. Historic Homes, Historic Waco has been an excellent partner in that regard. And yes, yeah,
amazing film locations there. Yes.
Exactly. And so, you know, for example, we had a filmmaker with a script that wanted to shoot in an airport. And she was New York based, and you cannot shoot in LaGuardia or JFK or anything like that.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. So it's funny because so she did shoot that film here at Waco Regional. And she said, you know, we were able to close down a gate for a day and do all these things. And I said, I know, we closed down half of our airport for you. That's how important you were. So, yeah, we just have small town capabilities, but big heart.
Yeah. Well, and I love how that has translated into attracting and retaining talent here. And I know that several of the films that you guys have helped to bring to Waco with your script writing competition and just because of the connections that you have managed to garner have actually ended up being qualifiers for the Oscars. That shines a great spotlight onto filmmaking in our community. So way to go, guys, because you don't just bring a festival here. You also bring filmmakers here who then make films here, which is also good for us. You have a festival which, you know, we definitely consider as a cultural event, but it's also economic development. It's become something of an engine for that. What kind of impact do you feel that 10 years of Waco Indie has had on Waco's economy? Where does it have kind of intersection with the economy?
Wow. So you're asking two guys who are not business guys.
Well, you kind of are, too, because you run a
festival.
We've
become that way, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing what you learn in 10 years. So I think what we have found is just business seems to be just people with like-minded ideas and pursuits that are getting together to help each other. And again, that's what, you know, Lewis alluded to that. We love to facilitate partnerships. We love to help ease a connection and create just these moments that turn into sparks that go forward, that become a thing that's done, that's created. And so,
Something that was nothing was just an idea that becomes a thing and puts people in hotel rooms and eating at restaurants.
And there's a lot of spider webbing that goes with that as well. Like you had mentioned, our partnership with Creative Waco and with Waco Surf. With Waco Surf, if you are a VIP pass holder, you get admission to Waco Surf. So maybe that's a place you haven't been to before and you want to try out. So as a VIP pass holder, you're trying something new there. And then, you know, we work with Brazos Theater. We work with Wild Imaginings and Soundhouse. And, you know, there's opportunities to find new creative opportunities in Waco. Check out a new theater. You get to see them perform in their in our screenplay reading. So you're able to find new opportunities in our community to connect. So there's that economically, but also in the economics of the film world, we're bringing tourists to town for this festival. We're bringing them to town to make their movies here. So again, you're seeing economic opportunities where you have hotel room nights sold. You have, like you mentioned, restaurants, catering. We're hiring local talent for casting and crew and all that. And then not only that, but globally, we're being recognized as, hey, as a festival to go to. So people in France and Germany and Austria, they're seeing, hey, you know, of all the places we're going to go this year for a film festival, let's go to Waco, Texas. Like we have a filmmaker this year actually saying this is her first trip to the United States. And she never thought it would be in Waco. But yeah, we're beating out LA and New York in that way. It's kind of crazy.
Well, and FIFA didn't bring her, but you guys did. So
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah. So anyone who's listening to this, they can come to this year's film festival. What can they expect this year? What do you guys have lined up?
We're packed.
Yeah.
We really are. We didn't expect to be. And the cool thing is that, you know, we had certain plans and then all of a sudden people are coming to us and saying, hey, I'd love to be a part in this manner and I'd love to be a part in this way. Mm-hmm. So specifically, we are really proud to announce having Elizabeth Tabish join us as a special guest. And the funny thing is she's actually an alumni of the festival. She was here in 2018, I think.
2019, I believe. 2019. Yeah, one of those 2 years.
Yeah, one of those 2 years.
And she's a household name, but for anyone who maybe hasn't heard her name, how would people know her?
Yeah, she plays the role of Mary Magdalene in The Chosen.
Oh, fantastic.
So yeah, if you've seen that show, you've definitely seen her.
Yeah.
And, you know, that film's in Texas and in Utah as well. So yeah, so we have Elizabeth here and we have Stephen Poster, who is the cinematographer behind Donnie Darko and a number of great music videos as well.
And of course, with Donnie Darko, we're showing the 25th anniversary.
Maybe he can explain it to me at the end of it, because that one is a big cult classic, but it is a bit of a mystery film as well. And then we have Adrienne Palicki, who's joining us as well. And she's best known for her roles on Friday Night Lights and on The Orville. She's been in a number of films, so she'll be joining us on Saturday as well. So there's some names and faces that you'll recognize. And then there's also the next generation of filmmakers. We've got high school and college shorts as well. So yeah, we run the gamut. Like, if you are interested in great storytelling, seeing it on screen, yeah, definitely come to the festival this year.
And it kicks off with the red carpet party and media moment, which is on July 16th, I believe.
Yes.
And that is always, like, that is a glitterati event for Waco, which I know I always enjoy coming to. You see the great and the glorious and people from all over the world at that event.
And the great thing about that is that it is accessible to everyone as well, right? Oftentimes the mayor joins us, which is a lot of fun, council members as well, Fiona. And all the movers and shakers, but it's also, you know, people who just love movies. And it's their great opportunity to come, meet each other, have some snacks, have some drinks, go and see a wonderful opening night film. This year it's Crystal Cross. It's really great. You can get all that information on our schedule. That's on our website, wacoindie.com. But yeah, we have films that run the gamut. Family films, horror films, anything you're interested in, it's there at the festival.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And if someone is now, you know, their curiosity has been piqued, what is one thing that you would want them to know about making that decision to come?
It is the biggest party of the year.
It is.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. It's a 4-day-long party, and you're invited. Just grab your pass, and you can go. Oh, and a little tiny hint is bring a hoodie or a sweater, because sometimes the theaters get cold. That's like insider info. You're getting it right here.
Good hint. And there's bull riding on the Saturday evening. There's something for everyone. Well, thank you so much, Lewis and Samuel, for telling us about it, but also for bringing 10 years' worth of amazing festivals to Waco.
Our pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Today's guests reminded us that stories are among the most powerful tools we possess. They help us remember, imagine, and understand our own story, as well as the lives and experiences beyond our own. And as we celebrate 250 years of the United States, this seems like a great moment to tell that story and to tell the stories that matter. Don't forget that Liberty's Dream runs through July 5th. It starts tonight. And the Waco Independent Film Festival takes place from July 16th to 19th. Tickets and schedules for both are available now. You are part of the renaissance of Waco every time you support arts and cultural events, organizations, and businesses in our community. You can discover other arts and cultural gems through all our local news media or by signing up for the Waco Buzz or Waco Insider. If you want to support the arts and join other leaders for front row cultural experiences, check out how to become a creative spark on the Creative Waco website. I'm Fiona Bond, and this has been Conversations with Creative Waco. Until next time, stay curious, stay creative, and keep listening for the stories that shape us.